All right, you guys, let's come on back. Looks like y'all are having a good time. That's kind of nice, isn't it? That's a good problem. All right, well, I don't have wind blowing everything away this week. So, today we're returning to the series that's kind of growing as I do it, called Ingredients for a Healthy Church. Wouldn't it be nice to be a healthy church? I think we're feeling healthy, right? And how to continue this health. We've learned that a healthy church repents when we need to, right? On a daily basis, obviously in the very beginning of our walk with Jesus. Then on a daily basis, keeping short accounts with the Lord. We've learned we need to get baptized. We have a baptismal here waiting. We get baptized in the Holy Spirit, not so that we can be showy with gift of tongues and all those things, but so that we can be filled with His power to minister to people. We've learned that we need to warn each other about the dangers of the world around us. We've learned that we need to read the Bible, that if you read the Bible at least four days a week, there's substantial increase in your personal spiritual health and your life if you'd read at least 4 days a week as opposed to just one, two, or three. And if you read every day, it really makes a difference. So a healthy church reads the Bible, listens to other people teach them. On Sunday, in the middle of the week, I personally listen to Greg Laurie, I listen to Frank Sontag, I listen to Chuck Swindoll, and I get fed by others as well. And a healthy church spends time in fellowship, amen, right? So today we're going to continue our look at the importance of fellowship. And we've been in Acts 2:42. We just kind of put it down in four-wheel low. We're going really slow through it. And before I start, I'd like to pray. Dear God, I just thank you for this beautiful day. We are so blessed, Lord, to be able to stand here on the beach, just like you did next to the Sea of Galilee, and be with each other and learn from you. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us. Help us to apply the word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's open up our Bibles to Acts 2. And when you see the word Acts, remember that God does nothing by accident. Okay? So Acts chapter 2, 42. This is after Peter's sermon. We had 3,000 men get saved. They all were baptized. And now we're finding out what was the result of this new faith in Jesus. And we're finding out that they were the real deal, right? They didn't just go to the front, raise their hands, go back into the car, drive home, and forget the whole thing. No, they are in, okay? And that's what we're reading about in Acts 2:42. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So we've been on the word fellowship, okay, for 1 week, and now we're on our second week there. It says that they continually devoted themselves to fellowship. Does that mean you just go to church on Sunday and that's when you visit Christians? Does that mean continually? No, it doesn't, right? So now what I find is cool is that God will actually help you with that continual thing. He'll actually set things up. And I'm going to tell a couple stories today about God helps you with that fellowship because He knows we need it, right? We talked about that. We can't be lone rangers. They spent time together, these guys in the early church. And I'm sure it was kind of a type of a home church too, right? Because I'm sure they didn't have the Crystal Cathedral sitting there, right? They had this small gathering in homes. Even though there was 3,000 of them, I'm sure they kind of had different, like, mini churches where they were breaking up into homes. Because this happened immediately. There was no time for a building campaign, right? Start raising money. So I started thinking about this when I was praying over this and studying. You know, what was it like during the week if they were continually devoting themselves to fellowship? Maybe they were going to the store together, you know, to Trader Abraham's or wherever they shopped. Or, you know, or worked together, making sandals, you know, making tents, played music, sang together, you know, hanging out. Maybe they played in a band called the Gaza Four or something like that. I don't know. Or watched a movie like Remember Jericho. Hey, let's go to my house and watch Remember Jericho, you know, or the Doom of Sodom, you know, or something like that. Or just hang out, right? Just hanging out together. Watching the sunset, just sitting together. I did a ton of that growing up in Texas because back then we had no cell phones and we didn't know where anybody was. And we would just go sit somewhere and hang out with nothing to do. We actually were happy. It's really interesting, kids. You can actually do that and be happy. It's amazing without any media. So just hanging out together. Or maybe they went and watched the National Chariot League after church, the NCL, or their version of NASCAR, whatever they had with their chariots, you know, going around the lap, having big crashes. But whatever the point is, they hung out together, right? They did things together. And, you know, I think that's something fun for us to think of. You know, what are we already doing in our lives that we can do together? Whether it's surfing or watching a football game or going to a movie, what are we already doing that we can do together? And then, so why do they do this? Because they found out that hanging out with other believers has its benefits, right? If something happens when we're with other believers, where two or more gathered, he's in our midst. There's a special time when you're other believers where you just sense God's presence. And he designed it that way so that we'll want to do it again because we're better together. Isn't that a song by Jack Johnson? We're better together, right? So, last week we learned that the fellowship that we're in reveals the grace of God because people watch us and they go, how can those people all get along so well, right? How come they're just sitting there hanging out without any hang-ups or fights? Shows the grace of God. Shows that we have forgiveness for one another, that we have empathy. We found out that it helps us find our purpose, that we all have different spiritual gifts. And, you know, I told you one way to find that out is to walk into the middle of a party and drop a cake. And you'll find out what people's gifts are by who helps clean it up and who's sitting there saying, well, you know, if you wouldn't have held it that way, it wouldn't have fallen, you know, whatever it is. You'll find out their different giftings by the response to that. And if we're all using our gifts, then we have the ingredients for a healthy church. It's like making a cake. You have all the proper ingredients. By the way, we had another thing that was baked this week. The ingredients were a little bit off by an unknown member of my family, but it was still really good when you put butter on it and heated it up. Okay, but if we have all the balanced ingredients in our fellowship, then it hums like a well-oiled machine, and it's easy. It's easy. It's fun. We're all doing our part, and that's how God designed it. We also found out that it builds our faith. We hear stories from each other, how God helped us through the week. Are you kidding me? He did that in your life, and you just trusted? It says in Luke 1:37, nothing's impossible with God. That was your verse? Yeah, and he did it. You know, or Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I actually believed that verse, and he helped me in my situation at work. It builds our faith when we hear stories from each other. So now we're at number 5 in your notes. You'll notice I filled in the first 4 from last time. And we're finding also that fellowship also provides encouragement. We need encouragement. And look at Hebrews 10:23-25. Hebrews 10:23-25. In the back of your Bible. And if somebody says, you know, I don't really need to go to church because I'm fine. I enjoy God. I love God. I'm not really into it. Well, just have them read the scripture and then let it speak to their heart. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As you see the day drawing near. I got a Facebook an Instagram from a friend of mine last night who I said the sinner's prayer with in 1984 on the grade going into Camarillo. He had a surf shop in the Camarillo called The Inlet, and his thing was surfing the secret spot by Point Magoo called The Inlet, and we would patrol in there and sneak in there. Well, anyway, he had a really terrible thing happen in his life. His wife divorced him and all these things were happening. He left the church. It broke my heart. And I saw him in Hawaii years later and he just wasn't into it. And I got this little bitty line from him last night. Hola, you know, Aloha Rasta. That used to be my name. Aloha Rasta, when I had long curly hair. Aloha Rasta. God's been good waiting for him to come back. You know, just that little quip in his Hawaiian pidgin that he's developed from living in Hawaii told me, hey, man, he's with Jesus again. I was so encouraged that Bill is looking forward to the returning of Jesus. Isn't that cool? I just showed all my family, you know, and he's gnarly. He's charged like, looks like a big picture of Chopu, and he's got his vest on and everything. He's a gnarly surfer. But I was so encouraged by that little thing right there. And we all need encouragement, don't we? We do. People can be so discouraging. Hello, my classroom. Oh, it's like, can y'all just please say something in that's nice to each other? My new rule is don't use the words you, he, or she. And we'll be pretty good in here. Nothing with you, he, or she. Okay? But being around Christians gives us a lift. It just does, because we want to be encouraged, so we act like that to other people as well. And it's because when we're with Christians, they have a godly perspective that we need so much, especially if we've all been reading the Bible, because we have, remember I talked about that, you have a filter when you hear the news, when you read stuff, you have that filter to run, you run it through that Bible filter and out comes the correct perspective. I needed that yesterday. So much. I needed that on Friday, actually, because I thought it was going to be a wonderful day, short day, taking the kids to an assembly, a nice conference period between lunch and brunch. And on the way to school, I found out that Verizon had turned off my phone because I owed some money for an international call. I said, who turns off your phone before you even get a bill? I mean, this just seemed like out of the blue, like Verizon, how could you do that to me? You're such a good company. So I called a second person and I said, listen, my sons are in the snow. They're chained up. They're going to Big Bear. They need phone service. And about this time, Daniel's all, what's going on with my phone, you know? And she said, I'm so sorry, Mr. Russell. I see you've always paid your bill. I'll fix that. They like lowered the price of the call. And she said, I just turned it back on. What do? They have like this little button. Okay, you're back on. And all of a sudden he's sitting there up in the slopes going, whoa, my phone just turned back on. So, I mean, that's kind of how my day started. And then at the end of the day, I came home and my wife was trying to be really helpful. We were babysitting three kids that were under knee high. And that's really nice of her to do this, or our good friends at Erickson's. But I'd had this kind of gnarly day and I came home to little kids all over the house. And so I did pretty well, I think. She said I did pretty well. I didn't, like, you know. And then at the very last thing before I went to bed, I accidentally flushed the little plastic toilet paper holder down the toilet. Oh, my gosh. I looked. I went, whoa! I like, put my hand all the way in there, tried to grab it, and I missed it. And I looked online, and I thought, you have to take the toilet off and reach in there and take it out, put a new seal on. Are you kidding me? I just want to go to bed. Anyway, so that was my low of the week, by the way. But then I went surfing yesterday morning and I woke up. You ever wake up in the morning like, seriously, I can't believe I have to call the plumber. Or, I don't want to take the toilet off. I'll teach Daniel how to do it, you know. And I'm going through all these thoughts so I don't have to hug the toilet. And then so I paddled out in the water and James Harris is out here. And James, we've been talking for years. I prayed with him in the parking lot years ago, and he stopped all of his drugs all in one day because of the prayer. And he's just blown away at how God touched his life. So it turns out Joey, he calls him Joey, we call him Joe, he's like his son. And Joe's so excited about Jesus, and they just went together to see Kiss. And Joe has a funny story about that, the contrasting worship and Kiss, like, oh, you know, but anyway. So, and I found out they're hanging out together How cool is that? And now James, he hasn't been coming to church because he helps his parents, they're elderly. And now they're talking about Jesus. And I thought, how cool is that, God? And that lifted my spirit, even though I still hadn't solved my toilet problem, right? So then I went to work yesterday to downtown to a teacher workshop. And I showed it to my neighbor, my team teacher, and he's an Episcopalian. He's a believer, and, you know, he believes in God and everything. And he looked at my situation. We looked at a picture. He goes, why don't you use a coat hanger? So I called Elena, use a coat hanger. So she got it with a coat hanger. I'm like, yes! So that was my high of the week, when Elena got it out with a coat hanger. So, you know, and that was not online, by the way. That was not an official remedy on, you know, online. So we need to put that on there. I told Mr. Henry, I said, I need to take you out to dinner, dude. I mean, because I just save, you save me a ton of time or money. So, but I was encouraged because James helped me with my perspective before I was went to work thinking about my toilet. And then there's sometimes, oh, and by the way, when I was laying in bed yesterday morning, the Lord reminded me of what we're studying in our home group, our Bible study. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. And I woke up by thinking, rejoice always? Really? Even when your toilet's in this kind of a situation? Okay, God, I rejoice. Okay, you know, it's like, okay, I rejoice, I'm thankful. And I start thinking, okay, yeah, I'm glad the heater works. I got a roof over my head. I got drinking water. I got a beautiful family. You know, you have to start getting a renewed perspective, right? So God helped me by telling me that verse as well. And then, by the way, we're in 2 Thessalonians 1 on Tuesday. And it's really good stuff for those of you that come on Tuesday night. It's been really great. Last Tuesday was awesome with Joe and Chelsea and Chelsea's mom and Cameron and Lauren and the kid. It was great. Y'all come. There's more room. We'll make room. We'll do two-story, whatever we have to do, right? Sometimes something really serious happens in our lives, right? Like when we lose a loved one, when someone dies. And of cancer or whatever it may be. And when we went to the Kingdom Men's Gathering, there was a guy there named Jonathan Pitts. Remember I told you he's the one that told his wife, you know, I'll have a hard time loving you if you ever got fat, which is something you'd never say to a girl in your entire life. And he said he struggled with that for 10 years, you know, and they did eventually get married. They worked through it. And then she had this wonderful ministry. Her daughter's in that movie War Room. She was a little girl in the movie War Room. If you haven't seen that movie, it's amazing. And this girl, his wife's name was Winter Evans, the niece of Dr. Tony Evans, a pastor in Dallas. And she had all these ministries, all these things going. And at the age of 38, she just died. They still have no cause of death. Just went to sleep and didn't wake up at 38 years old. So after he told us this story about what he said to her, we're like, oh, dude, I can't believe you said that to her. Then he told us that she died. And we just all were just floored. The place was so quiet. Can you imagine? It's like 2,000 men in there. So you're kidding me, right? It's not like it was his fault, but wow, ups and downs, crazy. And then I looked online and she posted an Instagram. His daughter, Alina, posted Instagram and how a doctor encouraged her so much right after her mom died. And she said, Jesus took my precious mommy off this earth. I don't know if I can read this actually without crying, but it happened within a couple of hours and it was so sudden. My heart hurts like never before. Comfort seems so far. Anxiety is extremely present. It still feels like a dream that I'll wake up from soon. I will remember those 30 minutes for the rest of my life. And I'll remember the pain I felt as I found out. But the surgeon who was on site, this is what I'm getting at because of encouragement. The surgeon who was on site, who was also a family friend, repeated this phrase to me as I walked down that hospital hallway. And for some reason, I couldn't forget them. As they told me my mom had passed, these words continued and still continue to pound in my head. I'm going to tell you something I need you to never forget, okay? You serve a big God. A big God. Don't you ever forget that. I serve a big God. Obstacles will be thrown at me, but my God is still there. He knows what he's doing, and he's got a plan. I say this is not by sheer will, but through faith. In the moment, his plan may seem outrageous, and I may not understand. I continue to ask myself, why me? Why did he choose my family? But I'm reminded he's in control. So even as I weep and grieve, I can smile with joy because I'll see her again. Even now, she's been throwing little winks at me. Please be praying for my family as my three younger sisters and I have lost her mommy and dad has lost his best friend. So, I didn't know whether to read that or not, but what stuck out to me is how that doctor encouraged her so much with that one comment. So this is a guy that's standing on stage talking to us, and he was so humble. You talk about getting encouragement at the right time, right? And when he told this at the Kingdom Men's Gathering, all 2,000 guys just felt his pain. And they all stood up. And they just start clapping for him. Right, Chris? Joe? Chris, both Chris's? They all just stood up and start clapping for him. Speaking of four-wheel low, just getting through this. They all stood up, clapping for them with tears in their eyes. And he must have been so encouraged just to know that all these men were standing with him. Right? Because it had only been 6 months. And he's up talking about it. Only been 6 months. Just imagine if somebody you love just suddenly died today. It reminds me of the song by Garth Brooks. If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much you love her? Do you tell her every way, to tell her every day that she's your only one? Right? You ever heard that song? It's beautiful. It's not on Spotify. I don't think he does Spotify. So let people know that you love them today. Amen? Right. And encourage them. And then other times, obviously, just in the day-to-day, when you fail a test, when you have financial problems, when you have your faith tested, spending time with other believers lifts us up, doesn't it? It really encourages us. They help us keep our eyes on God. God works through them to provide us what we need in darker times. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 says, may the God of all comfort comfort you so that you can comfort others with the comfort that he's given you. Right? May the God of all comfort comfort you so that you can comfort others with the comfort he's given you. That was my mom's main verse. I think I told you before. Her mom and dad died when she was 16 in their private plane. They had a crash. And so she spent the rest of her life coming to terms with that death and dealing with it, coming to Jesus, and then she would spend time helping other people and encouraging them because of the Lord working in her life, that he could work in their life as well. And I've had, you know, we just need that to heal and move forward, don't we? How many know what I'm talking about? Where you're in a tough spot, you just needed someone to come alongside you and pick you up. It's like that song right now by Switchfoot on Native Tongue called Wonderful Feeling. It's a really cool song. Check that out. Wonderful Feeling by Switchfoot. And people help us, so something that seemed really scary at night, in the morning, it doesn't seem so scary because people have encouraged us. You know, that's how it's been for me when I was in Hawaii with my good friend Judd Sands. When I was having panic attacks and with tons of anxiety, Judd prophesied over me, said, you will not be shaken, you will not be shaken. And he just loved me up and helped me so much. And to this day, that was in 1995, till this day, we're still in touch. And his encouragement is so awesome as he raises his family with four children in Ocean City, Maryland. And I raise my family with four children here in L.A. I hope he can come and meet y'all. And Jim Roosie, my friend and photographer, lives on the North Shore now. When I lived with him in Palos Verdes, I went through some really hard times. And he just encouraged me right when I was in my lowest lows. I needed him. And God knew that. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. Which reminds me, that leads me to number 6. That fellowship reminds us that we're not alone. We are not alone. If you look in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And in Galatians 2:20, it says, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Because Jesus lives in us, when we're with other people, we realize we're not alone because we all have kindred spirits. Whenever you run into a Christian, all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm not alone. I got family everywhere. Coming together with other believers in worship and conversation helps to remind us that we're not alone. There are believers everywhere. It's amazing. No matter where you go in the world, there's another believer that you can immediately connect with. How many know what I'm talking about that have traveled? You'll meet a believer in the middle of nowhere or in the middle of somewhere. And you'll just have this connection. And you can even hug them and say, God bless, as you leave and get on the train or wherever you are. Because you have Jesus living in both of you. And that makes the connection. It's not personality so much. It's Him living in us. Christ in us, a hope of glory. That's what's so cool. I love that. It's so cool to meet Christians all over town or all over the world. It's like this treasure hunt. You know, I love just leaving the house. And you have instant connectedness. Like when I was in YWAM, wherever we went with Youth with a Mission, they would have us stay in different homes in different states and different countries. And we immediately had the connectedness with the family we stayed with. I remember when we were in Cebu, which is an island in the middle of the Philippines. We'd been there for a week or so. And when we left, all these believers in this four-square church got into this big group and started singing to us that Michael W. Smith song, Friends. How many heard that song? Well, a friend's a friend forever when the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never because the Lord's the Lord of them. So it's hard to see you go to the Father's arms. I know that a lifetime's not too long to be his friends. And I just will never forget this group of Filipino people singing that to us and crying. And we just met them. We'd only been with them for a few days. It was unbelievable. By the way, Cebu is a gorgeous place, especially for snorkeling. That was one of our days off when we were there. It was amazing. When we weren't in the prison, that's what we did. That's a whole nother story. But we need that fellowship. It's like the teachers at my school, the ones that are Christians, we have this secret connectedness at our school that we can talk about. And the other teachers, we have good relationships, but it's different. But no, I'm praying with the janitors. A lot of them are Christians. There's teachers that go to different churches. And we have this connectedness when I'm at work, and it helps me so much. It's like the other day when Elena, my wife, went to the doctor, and she was kind of scared about going to the doctor. She had this kind of planned script, basically it says, no, I don't want to do any treatment yet. I just want to find out what's going on with me. Turns out the lady was a believer, and she was so nice. And her husband was a surfer and all this stuff. And when we finished the doctor's visit, we're all hugging and saying, God bless, like we'd known each other for years. I said, now look at that, Elena. That's exactly what the doctor had ordered. I mean, that's what you ordered. Because he knew you needed that in this situation because not all doctors have been good for her over the years, and this one was. Praise God for that. It's like when we went skiing the other day, and Mary, the first girl she met in ski class, was a Christian. And she introduced her first. The girl introduced herself to Mary, and they hung out together. Here we are on a mountain. I'm leaving her by herself, right? And God gave her a friend who knew Jesus. I mean, how cool is that? We're at Mountain High, right, for one day. I mean, God does those things because He knows we need each other. And she had a good time doing that. It's like last Sunday with Mary, we had this adventure. It was so cool. And we left here and we went to Dave Johnson's because he had foot surgery. We sat with him and fellowshiped, and his wife forced us to have omelets and oatmeal and fruit and chocolate and coffee. It was amazing. It's like, okay, I am hungry. No, it was, she's the best cook ever. Oh my gosh, he is so blessed. So we had this amazing fellowship with the Johnsons. They went to visit the Carrs. I had a great time with them because they have kids the same age. And then we left the Carrs, and Mary said, let's go to Kohl's. I have some gift cards for my birthday. So we went into Kohl's, and she's trying to find this little backpack, you know, that the girls wear. It's like a purse. It's like right in the middle of the back. Guys, I don't, you know, we don't wear backpacks. It's small, but there's small ones. And we went in there, and they didn't have the right color. And so we got something else instead. And we're standing in line, and Megan Langlois was in line. We hadn't seen her at church that day, but she's in line, so we had fellowship with her. And then the other people in line heard us talking about church on the beach, and they thought that was a great idea too. So suddenly we had fellowship at Kohl's, and it was so cool, right? And then, so then we left Kohl's, and we're going to Trader Joe's. And as we were going over there, I just felt like the Lord was leading me to go, right, Mary? Let's go to Ross Dress for Less. I mean, it's a cool name, right? No. We'll go at Ross Dress for Less. And I looked there. I said, we don't really even have any money to go in here, do we? Let's just see what they have. Because we're looking for her backpack that she wants, right? So we go in there and we ask for the backpacks. We go back to the back of the store. And there's like two whole rows of backpacks. I looked at Mary. I said, this is backpack country, man. They're like all like the ones that girls like, right? And so there's this lady standing there, and this young woman, well, I'm not sure how old she is, and her shirt says, I can change the world. So that's my little clue, you know, that's my trigger. So I said, oh, really? Oh, that's an interesting shirt you got there. Did you know that Jesus changed the world with 12 people? And she said, well, actually, I am a Jesus person. That's why I'm wearing this shirt. I said, really? Well, I have a church on the beach. She said, no way. Last night, my friend invited me to church, and I said, I'm not going. I haven't been in 5 years. But if God makes it clear, I will go to church. So here I am the next day talking to her at Ross. And she said, okay, that's my sign. I'm going to church. So we met her. And then we went around to the other side looking for the right backpack. And we found it. It was like the perfect brown backpack with all the zippers on the inside and the outside and all the little, you know. I said, Mary, there it is. And I said, wow, it's $68, Mary. You got expensive taste, just like your mama. And then the girl, Jamie, spoke from the other side of the aisle, and she said, that's what my dad always said about me, too. She said, I want to buy that for y'all. I said, what? She said, I want to buy that for y'all. I said, you're kidding. That's crazy. I just met you. Because it was Koinonia. It was Jesus. You see that? She had Jesus in her as fellowship. We just met, but we were in fellowship. So we just followed her cart up to the front of the store. She said, I'm not going to do these returns right now. I got something to buy for this girl here. And it turns out, because it was Ross Dress for Less, it was only $24. It was marked down. The regular price was $68. But she was willing to spend $70 on Mary because we were Christians and we had fellowship. Isn't that cool? So Mary got her backpack. And then she was like, woo! She was so happy. She's like, wow, Jesus is so cool. And you know what Mary said? She says, Dad, that makes me want to do that for other people. Exactly. That's it right there. So then we go over to Trader Joe's and we go in there, and then Megan's in there again, and we got to continue our fellowship at Trader Joe's while all these people are listening to us talk about our stuff. And we finally made it home, like 4 hours later. But it was this wonderful time of fellowship that God set up. You see that? God set it up because he knew that we needed encouragement. He knew, you know, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. And that was Mary's desire. He delighted in that for her, right? It was so fun. So that's why fellowship is so important. It reminds us that we're never really alone. Even when we're out there and it seems like you are, you're not. Okay, wow, we got all the way to point six. Let's see. I think I can get through this part right here. Maybe, maybe not. Let's see here. Lord, should I stop or continue? I think, you know what? Should I save that part for the next time? Keep going? Okay, here we go. All right. Point number seven, fellowship helps us grow. We need to grow in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Look at this 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "What is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble? Each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." As we get together, we're built up. It helps us grow in Him. And Matthew 18:20 is a verse that says, "Where two or more gather, He's there in our midst." Reading our Bibles and praying together helps us grow. When we come together in fellowship, we teach each other things. It increases our accountability. That's why we ask those three questions at the beginning of church. We learn from others as they share what we've learned so far, where they're in their walk, how they're coping biblically, you know, how they're learning about the Bible. We learn new strategies to help us grow in the Lord. We learn personal remedies that other people use to help them grow. And when our prayer is in groups, it's more effective because of that verse where two or more gathered, Jesus is in their midst. And prayer for each other also helps us grow. It helps us as we pray that the enemy will be kept away from our flock and we ask for God's favor. This all happens in fellowship. In fact, and we're going to talk more about prayer later, but fellowship is essential for growth. And there is no idle as a Christian. Did you know that? There's only drive and reverse. There is no neutral. You cannot put it in neutral and expect to stay there. You're either going to fall backwards or you're going to go forward, one or the other. So you have to pick what you want to put on your drive, on your stick shift, right? And we want to be in D. We want to be in drive. And so in fellowship, that's how we grow. In fact, I don't see how you could do it without it. I really don't. You know, that I told you about Michael Francisi that was able to grow in solitary confinement for 3 years. That's a miracle, right? But he had no choice. And he came out, remember, from the mob. I told you all about that last time. He was in the Colombo family, and he came out from that, disassociated himself from the mob, and Jesus has given him favor. Fellowship is wonderful. It is rich. It's what God wants for us. And I know that God wants it for us. It's how He sets us up in our living situation. I believe that God is in the roommate business. And if you get married, that's obviously still the roommate business, right? He sets it up so that we're with people that will help us grow. When I was seeking Christian, I lived in L.A. by myself. I didn't know anybody. I was trying to get work, in the film business at that time as a production assistant and doing different jobs in the film business and theater, fashion photography, all these different entertainment areas where I was working. And I went to UCLA to find a place to live, and I found a room in the Palisades. It said on there, "Looking for a Christian roommate." So I chose that one. So I went to the Palisades and lived with this guy who was a Christian. And we lived in those apartments right by the Self-Realization Shrine, that place on Sunset Boulevard where they believe that Jesus is equal to Buddha, is equal to Muhammad, is equal to all those, which is not true because Jesus is God. All those other guys were just men. But nonetheless, I was in those apartments there. And, you know, we all need people, don't we, eventually? We want to hang out with people, want to talk to people. So just by going to the swimming pool, I started meeting people at my apartment building. And I met these guys that were ex-drug smugglers. They used to fly B-52s in Vietnam, and they learned how to fly B-52s into South America. They were really interesting people. And they knew people from Miami Vice. And Chris Penn was hanging out there, and models and lawyers. I went on a regatta one time in the marina, and there's a guy from the DEA on the boat. And I'm thinking, wow, this is quite a crew of people here, you know. This is like this combustible thing that could just blow up, you know. And they had promised to get me in a movie if I could get a connection. And I knew Lloyd Bridges, so I was trying to get a script to them about drug smuggling. And all this stuff, you know, I got sucked into this big fellowship. And I remember at one point, they looked at me and they said, "You know what? I think we like you." I said, "What does that mean?" You know, when you're with a group of people and they go, "You know, we decided that we like you." Does that mean they trust me? And now they're going to like start doing a bunch of illegal things, you know. But I was with this group and I was really on shaky ground. And all of a sudden, my roommate moved. So I didn't have rent control. So all of a sudden, my $350 a month became $1,000 a month, and I couldn't stay there. So then I was couch bound. Some people call it homeless. I called it couch bound. So I started floating from apartment to apartment and doing dishes until people got tired of me in that same building. And then I was working in the theater on a play called A Couple of White Chicks Sitting Around Talking with Ann Archer and Elizabeth Ashley. It was really fun. We did it for about 88 nights. It was a long run. Anyway, the guys in the crew were deadheads, and they built a place for me to stay in Topanga Canyon on a mountaintop. They put up drywall in the corner of their house and created a bedroom for me. So I went up to Topanga Canyon from the Palisades, living with deadheads as a brand new Christian, reading missionary stories while they're doing bong hits in the living room, and we would yell at each other, trying to get each other to do what we were doing. No, you need to take a hit of the Holy Spirit, man. That's what you need. Oh, man, you need a bongi. So we were doing that back and forth. And I realized after a while that this was not going to work. I would never get married living in Topanga Canyon. And so I went to Hope Chapel and found a card for a living arrangement, a guy named Greg Kokel. I didn't even know who he was. But I went down into Carson from Topanga. Hello, talk about contrast. From Topanga Canyon on a mountaintop watching the hawks from my shower, you know, in the morning, to Carson and trying to find your way through the smog and, you know, getting down in there. But this guy was an apologist, and he was on the radio. He has a ministry called Stand to Reason. God put me in a house with a guy that knew the Bible so well. It was just what I needed. Got me out of there with Greg. And then that helped me grow in Christ just by having the right roommate. And then I found another place to live in the Redondo, and he was a piano player for Hope Chapel. And I would come home in a funk, and he would look at me and go, "Ross, what's wrong?" "I don't know, nothing." He goes, "Ross, what's wrong?" And he would never let me get away with anything. It drove me crazy. But what happened was it helped me stay clear. It helped me have everything in the light. And I kept growing in Christ. Rick Valenzuela was his name, the piano player at Hope Chapel. And then I ended up moving with Jim Roosey in the Palisades, another pastor. And God just kept moving me from house to house with these super godly guys because he knew that's what I needed. And eventually I sold all my stuff in the PV and went to the mission field for 2 years. And then I came back and got married, and God knew that I needed this roommate right here, Elena. And I'm so grateful for her because that has helped me grow. You see that? And he's led me through all these people to keep me healthy in Jesus. Now, some people probably don't need that much work. I needed a lot of work. I did. I was like a wild horse. You know, when I got married, I was bucking in the corral, like, you know. And finally, I just went limp, you know, just show me where to sleep. Just give me some food, I'll be okay. Because I've been doing so many things on my own for so many years. So God helps us grow in fellowship. And then he brought me into Hope Chapel, and I was there for 16 years. And then Kings Harbor, and then the bridge. All these pastors were so amazing, helping me grow in Christ, giving me opportunities. Pastor Zach, Pastor Chris, Pastor Rob. And then now that brings me to here. And I've had all this killer fellowship the whole time. Right? Isn't that good? Isn't God good? Amen. He never left me hanging. And so the last thing, 8, is fellowship fosters rich relationships. He wants to develop rich relationships in the midst of all that. And that's what's been happening. I still am in contact with all these people. You know, I have a birthday up pretty much every day on Facebook to say, "Hey, happy birthday," from all those years of meeting people, right? And not burning bridges. And I'm so grateful that I have all these people that I can go out to. Especially grateful for y'all that are with me in this season of my life, you know? And these relationships that we're forming right now are so rich and so real that you just don't find out there. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's right." You just don't find these relationships out there. There's some that are deep, don't get me wrong, but most of them are conditional, right? Most of them are conditional, but not here. There's nothing like the richness of deep relationships created by great fellowship. It's the best. It's like my friend Judd in Ocean City, Maryland. It's like my friend Scotty lives at Silver Strand. Over the years, we've always been in touch. When you've had a rich relationship like that and you don't have it for a while, you'll know what you're missing. Like Paul in 1 Thessalonians, and I put the scriptures there, he's longing to be in fellowship with the Thessalonians. He's longing for them to be with them face to face. And he's only been with them for a short time, but it was so rich that he can't wait to be there. He can't wait to be there. So, and you can look at those scriptures later, or you can come to our home group on Tuesday and look more into that. But are y'all encouraged? Is there a good reason to go to church? Did I sell it? Huh? Did I sell it? I mean, actually, I'm the mailman, right? God sells it. But I mean, that was my job, right? Is to let you know this is a good thing we're doing this on Sunday morning. We're not just checking off a box. No, we're doing something that's going to build us up and make us enjoy life, have great relationships, and just be fat, faithful, available, and teachable in Christ, right? If you're going to be fat, be faithful, available, and teachable, right, in Christ, then it happens in relationship. So y'all close your eyes, and I want to see if somebody's here within earshot that hasn't received Jesus. Jesus said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me. Muhammad and Gandhi and all these guys had some interesting teachings, but nobody had a solution for sin. And we know that if we had one solution for our cancer, we would certainly take it. But we do have one solution for sin, and that's Jesus. He died on the cross for us. He paid for our sins. It satisfied the requirements set by God, blood for blood. And he says, if you believe in me and confess with your mouth that I am Lord, then you'll be saved. And really, you don't even have, it's not even walking yet. It's just simply belief. And I was listening to this week from Chuck Swindoll. It's really just believing. Because the thief on the cross said, Jesus, remember me today. And he said, truly today, you'll be with me in paradise. It's at the very core. It is just believing, but really believing with all your heart. So if that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that. Awesome. All right, let's rehearse. If you've prayed this prayer before, say it again and rehearse, you know, just to remember where we are in Christ. And for those of you who haven't, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I love you.
We love you.
You're amazing.
You're amazing.
I can't believe what you've done for me.
We can't believe what you've done
that you died for me.
That you shed your blood
on the cross. And you could have gotten down,
but you didn't.
And you rose again,
to prove to
me
that you're true.
I give my life to you.
We give our lives to you.
I want to go to heaven.
We want to go to heaven.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill us with your Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Go Jesus.
Woo! Amen.
Give me a J.
J.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me an S.
S.
What's that spell?
Jesus.
What's that spell?
Jesus.
What's that spell?
Jesus.
All right, let's stand up and praise the Lord, huh?